Hello. We're still talking about session three, delaying gratification and responsibility, problem-solving tools. I just did. I didn't realize it was 30 minutes. I'm sorry I did it so much long, but it just seemed to take that long before I could give you everything I thought you needed to know, I guess. But you'll take from it what you need. But I was thinking as I was frustrated because it's time to eat dinner tonight, and I. Things did, the printer wasn't printing right and the paper wasn't come out right. And I was remembering this song that was in my heart when I woke up this morning. And it's a simple song, and maybe you know it, maybe you don't, but I'm not going to sing it because I can't carry a tune. But I have put on the garment of praise. I have put on the garment of praise. And the spirit of heaviness is gone from me. I have put on the garment of praise. Remember, Apostle Paul was cast into prison and bound, hands and feet were bound. And they began to sing and praised God in the middle of that terrible condition they were in, the big problem. They had a big problem. And this is what they did in the middle of their problem, began to praise God and sing to God. And all of a sudden, something happened, like an earthquake went off. And the chains were broken and they were free. So it's important that one of the resources God has given us is our mouth and the ability to sing or to speak to the Lord with songs and psalms and melody in our heart. And this has a powerful effect on your soul and body during the day. And so I just reminded myself of that when I was coming out to my office to make this next recording and to talk to you about responsibility. Because, let me see how I want to start this. It's the second tool of discipline. When Peck uses the word responsibility, he's talking about the difficulty we have in life is to know what is my responsibility and what isn't my responsibility. That's a big challenge for us. Is it my responsibility or somebody else's? So, but we must, he's saying, we can't solve a problem till we accept responsibility for it. Until we turn and look at the problem and accept it. Say, yes, this is a problem that I have to solve. It's only when we say that it's my problem, it's up to me to solve it, that I'm assuming responsibility for it, and then I can stop blaming somebody else. That's the key, because we end up blaming somebody else for all these problems or wanting them to fix our problem for us. So responsibility is the ability to make a response to something. Response, ability. We must make a response. This is my problem. It is not my problem. But it's painful to take responsibility for a problem, because what if we make a wrong choice? What if we do it wrong? What is the consequences, the pain of the consequences of doing it wrong? So we're afraid to choose. We're afraid to choose. Think about choices you made or choices you didn't make because you were afraid to choose. You're afraid to say yes to it. You've heard me tell stories about choosing. But life is a series of problems that we need to solve and to choose to solve them and to work our way through them. And even if it's wrong, if we do it wrong, if we don't solve the problem, things will get much worse for us if we don't take action on it. So when we don't want to solve it, we try to manipulate somebody else to do that, to take care of it for you. Or ask somebody else, what would you do in my situation? But what we want to say is, you're the boss, you take care of me, just tell me what to do. Wouldn't you like somebody else just to tell you what to do all the time? But God has given us the power of choice. Some of you have taken my other groups and you know how important it is that you understand God has given you the power of choice. He wants you to choose how to handle situations. He'll come alongside and help you. The Holy Spirit is there. And with the still small voices there, dreams come to help us, visions and prophetic words come to help us, but it's you that must decide, not somebody else. Because of the pain of avoiding problems and working through them, we go to a great amount of effort to avoid accepting responsibility for it. We do everything we can to get out of responsibility for that problem. Well, they started the problem. It's their problem, we say. What have I done? What is my part in the problem? I know some of you talk about that. I have a sister who doesn't want to talk with me, and I've done everything I can to solve that problem. I won't go into what, but I realize there's nothing more I can do. Then I surrender and put it in the hands of God. I can't fix every problem, but I can do what I can do. I can say, I'm sorry that I did that. I can repeat it. I can send her a letter in the mail. I can send her a gift. And I can do those things, but I can't make her open her heart to me. So we can do our part, but sometimes we get into difficult places like that one. And often it happens in families, it's difficult. But when we try to avoid problems, this is some of the ways people say it. This problem was caused me by other people. This problem was caused me by my sister. This problem was caused me by some circumstances out there in life. It's beyond my control. It's up to somebody else to solve it for me. It is not my personal problem. And what are some of the ways that we use to avoid solving your problems? Think back. How do you avoid solving problems? Do you know the word procrastinating in English? We put it off. We won't do it. We delay taking action. We procrastinate. We make excuses. We run away. We blame everybody else. My mother, my father, my child, the church, the teacher, the pastor, the priest. We blame somebody else. We blame our genes. We blame racism for it. We blame the system for it. We blame sexism for it. We blame something. When Hillary Clinton didn't become president, she wanted to blame somebody. Watch people, how often they blame somebody else. It's never the current president's problem. It's somebody else. That's what's going on now. It's somebody else's problem. It's not my, I didn't cause this problem. So we want to blame somebody else. And when we do that, I want to show, give you four different ways that people tend to do this. They're what you would call their coping mechanisms. Coping mechanisms are their behaviors we use to escape and avoid a difficult situation. There are four behaviors that we use. Two of them are fear-based. Two of them are anger-based. The two that are fear-based responses to a difficult situation, the first one is we run away, we escape, we flee. Like the rabbit, we run away. There's a certain communication style that I won't give it to you because I think it won't be understood in German how I say it, but you understand the problem. You know people want to run away. They want to escape. They flee. They get out of there. The second fear-based response, in fact, the person who runs away is they're afraid of something. They're fear-based. It's a fear-based behavior. The second fear-based behavior is to withdraw, to mentally and physically tune everything out, to shut down, withdraw into themselves. The animal that's associated with that is the turtle or the ostrich. We withdraw into ourselves. The two anger-based responses is fight. Number one is fight. Fight like a tiger. We push others away with anger to divert attention. We push somebody away with their anger. We want to fight back. We want to act out. The second anger-based response is control. It's like a snake that coils up and strikes back. We're like a gorilla. We want to take tight control of something and hold on to it, and we won't let go of control. We won't have trouble surrendering to God. I've got to stay in control. I'm in control. And we don't know how to surrender ourselves into the hands of a living God. These are kind of sometimes long-term habits that we acquired even as children. But one of the most interesting things I found in Peck's book was something he called what happens with responsibility is that we, let me just try to say that again. People come to a psychiatrist when they're suffering from what is called either a neurosis or a character disorder. These two words, neurosis and character disorders, are two sides of the same coin in when there's a disorder response. When people are running away and won't solve their problems, they come into a neurotic behavior, neurotic symptoms begin to break out, or they become what they call a character disorder. I'm going to explain that to you. I tend to be a very good neurotic. My husband tends to be pretty much on the character disorder side. I'm going to try to explain what that difference is. Neurotics make themselves miserable. Character disorders want to make everybody else miserable. A neurotic person assumes too much responsibility. A character disorder assumes too little responsibility. It's not my fault. A neurotic person automatically assumes they are at fault. It's all their fault. They're to blame. The character disorder is automatically assume the world is at fault. Somebody else is at fault. The neurotic assumes total responsibility. Something must be wrong with me. You like that one? How many of you say something must be wrong with me? We're taking too much responsibility for things. Character disorder see themselves as having no role in their problems at all. Neurotic person sees himself as an inferior person, always falling short of the mark, always making wrong choices. That's the neurotic way that they handle conflict in the world. The character disorders are more difficult to work with in therapy. It's easier to work with a neurotic in therapy, but we don't see themselves as having problems. We make everybody else miserable. And so they blame the world for everything and they as being in need of change, but they never have to change themselves. Pay attention to this because their speech patterns are very different. Listen for the words for a neurotic as I ought to, I should, or I shouldn't. I ought to, I should, or I shouldn't. But the character disorder says, I can't, I couldn't, I have to, I had to. So there's a very different speech pattern when we're acting like a neurotic person or when we're tending to be more like a character disorder. I can't do that. I couldn't do that. I have to do that. I have to tell you that. No, you don't have to. I'm making a choice to tell you. Instead of saying I ought to something, say that. Say I could have done that. Learn to change some of these patterns of what you say. Instead of saying, I ought to have done that, I should have done that, start saying, no, I could have done that. I could have done that. I hope you understand the difference. Character disorder is, I can't do it. I couldn't do it. I had to do it. So there's no power of choice in there. They're giving away their power of choice. Either side have lost their power of choice. They're blaming themselves or somebody else. They're not able to take responsibility for their own life and their own choices. It's everybody else's responsibility. Actually, Peck says that most of us have a little of each part of them in us. But these same patterns of behavior are in our marriages, our friendships, and our churches, and everywhere we go. So people stop trying to solve the problems of living and to grow spiritually and become dead weight in society. Let me try that again. That didn't work very well. I'm reading my notes, and you can tell. These same character traits extend into marriage, friendships, and business dealings. We're talking about character disordered people. By casting away their responsibility, they have stopped trying to solve the problems of living their life. And they don't grow spiritually, and they become dead weight in society. That's what they've done. Is they actually put all their pain out on the world around them. They put their pain out on you instead of taking responsibility for their own pain. They make me angry. They make me sad. I often say to people, don't say that. See, I get mad when you do this. I get angry when you do this. I get hurt when you do this. I don't feel good when you do this. Don't say, you make me feel bad. You make me angry. Learn to take responsibility for your feelings. It's a very big, important skill that you take responsibility for what you're feeling. Don't say, for me, I think this way. I always like it in German. For me, let's see how to say, for me, es ist cold. Instead of saying, I'm cold in German, I think you say, for how do we do that? I forgot the language now. It is cold, but it is. So for me, I see the situation this way. So it allows you to put an opinion out there without trying to start a war with somebody else. For me, I see it this way. But enough on learning how to watch what we say. So that's one of the problems with failure to take responsibility. I must be getting tired. Sorry about this, but I hope you get something out of it. But I want to move into another area related to this. When we don't take responsibility for our problems, we move into a sense of helplessness. We have an inner conviction and a fear that we're unable to cope and to change anything. This is the problem when you become a Christian, because God wants to give you freedom to choose. But most people don't want that freedom to choose. We want to tell you, God to tell you everything to do. We don't want to make choices for ourselves. And so this root of helplessness or powerlessness is we're trying to escape the problem of freedom. We don't like the pain of freedom. We're afraid of freedom. I remember some friends from Germany came over there. They didn't like being in the United States. It was too big for them. They felt better in a smaller country with smaller boundaries. And they just were uncomfortable when they visited us. They said, it feels too big to us. I thought that was kind of interesting. We grow up in certain boundaries and we get used to them and they're familiar to us. When we go to some other country, it's a very different type of sense of the boundaries around you. And so when we don't, when we're afraid to take freedom to resolve our own problems, we become helpless and we give away our power. So we become a victim. We've never learned to take what we call in English an autonomy. It's the ability to govern myself, to decide for myself, the sense of my own self-identity. I choose this. I say no to that. I want to go here. I don't want to go there. So I'm doing my broadcast. I did my podcast last week. I did three of them. And I knew today is the day I'm going to do them. I made a choice to do them. When we don't take this ability to govern myself, this is a good day for me to do this. So this is what they say in English, is autonomy. We have the ability to self-determine things. This is a requirement for spiritual growth. You have to have an ego, a self that's built up in order to surrender it to God, friends. So God is at work to build you up, to strengthen you. So you can say yes and no. You say, I prefer, I like this, I don't like that. That's all about this tremendous situation of becoming, taking responsibility for the problems you have. But you must learn that solving problems is our whole life. It's a series of choices that we have to make, your whole life. If we can accept this, then we become freer people. If we don't accept it, we will feel forever like a victim. You know, and it's easier to be a victim in life, isn't it? Than to be able to use the choices, the gifts and talents that God has given you, to make choices for yourself, to make choices responsible. When I made a choice, said, God, Father God, I'm going to go back to Germany on such and such a time. If this is wrong, let me know. And God took me at my word and he did it. But God doesn't always tell you when to go, when to do something. Sometimes they say, I'm going to not do this, Father. If I'm wrong, would you tell me? That's the one way I haven't handled things for. So the question we'll discover in discussing group is, what are some things that we are responsible for? Think about some things that you are and need to be responsible for. I won't cover those now, but we'll look at that in group. So this is what I have to say about responsibility, the disorders of responsibility. If we won't take responsibility for the problems that are ours. And how do we know what is our problem? How do we know which is my problem to solve? I guess we didn't really discuss that, but maybe we can discuss that in group. How do we know what problems are mine to solve? Which problems are not mine to solve? I like that. I've got problems to solve, and so do you. So, Father, we pray now that you give us abundance of grace to face the problems that we need to face and to work our way through them, and that we don't live in fear of the pain that might come by making a wrong choice, a wrong way of handling it. Give us the wisdom and knowledge we need, Father. I thank you, Father God, that you promised to give us wisdom and knowledge when we ask for it. But we must believe that you'll receive it and that you will give it to us. Father, we must thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you want to give us wisdom and knowledge to help us in our life. We must ask for it. Father, we must come and ask for the wisdom. How do you want me to solve that problem? What are your ideas, Father, of how to work this out? I thank you, you'll give it to me. And then we know and we believe that what comes to us is coming from God to show us the right way, how to handle something. So I hope the Lord uses this to help you in some way. And it's been a joy to try to explain this. I really like the difference between character disorders and erotics, because years ago I said, oh, that's me and this is my husband. And help us to begin to understand each other. and to appreciate where each person was coming from when we talked. It takes us a long time, especially for character disorders, I think, to wake up and see how they're blaming somebody else and how they don't want to take responsibility for a problem. They'd rather ignore it or procrastinate, avoid it. So think about your ways of avoiding problems. How do you avoid problems this week? So I'll look forward to talking with you on these things when we meet again. Bye-bye.